Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
When Jaden was born, I really thought that parenting was going to be easy. Boy, was I wrong. I've been a parent for 15 years now. Jaden is now 15 years old. And the last 15 years, I've learned a few things about parenting. I learned, for example, that whoever invented the term slept like a baby, they didn't have a baby, right? In fact, maybe they've never seen a baby. The right and correct expression should be slept like an adult who doesn't have a baby. That's the correct expression, right? And all the parents here say, amen, that's right. Well, welcome to part two of our series, Parenting in the 21st Century. I want to welcome especially those who are joining us online. I hope this is not going to be your last time. If this is your first time joining in. And today and for the next few weeks, I want to talk to not just parents, but I want to talk to grandparents, future parents, uncles, aunties, and church leaders. And I want to talk to even teenagers, because I believe what we are talking about in this series is relevant for everybody. Even if you are a teenager, I want to encourage you to use and to use what you hear today and the next few weeks to start a conversation with your parent and how possibly you can make the situation at home even better than it already is. All right. So I want to encourage every single one of you to lean in and just join in the conversation. All right. I want to start by telling you this true story that I read recently. A social worker by the name of Juan Chavez. He is from Bronx, New York, and one evening he was on his way back home on the way to his favorite diner. And as he stepped out of the train onto the platform of the subway, a young man, a teenager, ran to him, pulled out his knife and demanded for his wallet. So he thought there was no point fighting this teenager, and he fished for his wallet from his pocket and he handed in the wallet to this boy, to this teenager. And then as the boy was walking away, he decided to do one better. He said, "Hey, if you're going to rob people all night, you might as well take my coat, because it's going to be really cold and I want you to stay warm." That stopped that young boy right on his tracks, and he just froze. He couldn't move, and this social worker approached him and said, "Here, take my jacket with you. And in fact, if you don't have anywhere to go right now, I'm going to my favorite diner. You're welcome to join me." And he was too shocked to say no, so he joined him. This is a true story. And had dinner at that diner. And as they were having dinner, it was very apparent to this boy that this man was very friendly to everybody, and everybody was very friendly to him. And so he asked this social worker a question: "Do you own this restaurant? How come you're friendly to everybody and everybody was friendly toward you?" And he said, no, I didn't. Of course, I don't own the restaurant." And he asked this young boy a question: "Haven't your parents taught you that you need to be friendly with everyone?" And that young boy said, "Yeah, but I don't think that people actually behave that way." "Yeah, I've heard about that. My parents told me that, but I don't think that people actually behave that way." So they had a conversation that evening like old friends. And then finally, when the bill came, he asked, "Hey, can I have my wallet because I need to pay for this bill?" So this boy gave him his wallet. He paid for the meal and gave the boy $20 and tell him, "Hey, you have a bright future. I believe you're a very smart young man, and I don't think you should choose this path of life. Can I have your knife?" And the boy gave him his knife, and they exchanged information, and "I'm going to help you to find a job." And so, you know, that chance encounter turned out to be something really, really powerful for both people, especially for that young man. Now, I was curious by what that young man said, that he heard all the right things being taught to him all his life probably, but he said, I never thought that people actually behave that way. I want to start by telling you this, what I believe is a very powerful truth that you need to know as a parent, okay? And the truth is this, that your behavior as a parent will determine whether or not your children will want to be like you or even with you when they're old enough to decide for themselves. That's scary, isn't it? It is not your parenting skills. It is not your advice that will determine whether or not your children will want to be like you, but it is your behavior. That's scary. And you know it's true. Isn't it true that it is your parents' behavior that determine whether or not you want to be like them or with them, right? Your parents' behavior, not their teaching skills, not their parenting skills, not their advice, but your parents' behavior is what determines the trajectory of your relationship with them. Some of you now don't talk to your parents anymore because of their behavior toward you. Some of you have very close relationships with your parents still right now, even though you've been married, even though you live in a different city, but you still FaceTime every week. Why? Not because you remember, you know, every single thing, every single rule that they gave you, but because of their behavior toward you that determined the trajectory of your relationship with them. Now, chances are then, if you are a parent right now, your children, let me tell you, your children, right, will determine whether or not they will want to be like you based on your behavior toward them, based on your behavior to one another as husband and wife, based on what you do. You know why? Because your behavior, right, your parents' behavior determine how much respect you had or have for your parents. And here's the deal. Respect creates influence. If you want to influence your children, you better start right now to develop such behavior, such relationships that they respect you, because when they respect you, you can influence them. On the other hand, if they don't respect you, you cannot influence them. More about that a bit later on, all right? Last week, we started this conversation by saying that there is a strong relationship between your marriage and your parenting, right? And we talk about the tension between what is real and what is ideal. I mean, Jesus was the perfect example of someone who maintains this tension really, really well. Jesus refuses to lower the bar for anybody. In fact, if anything, we talked about this last week, Jesus made the bar even higher. But guess what? As the bar goes higher, so the grace goes deeper. You see, Jesus will not let you let you go just because he wants to make you feel better. No, Jesus still has this ideal for you, and you are the same. We talk about this, right? Even though you've been divorced maybe 2 times or 3 times right now, you still have this desire, you have this ideal for your children. You don't wish on your children that they will be divorced like you, because you know the pain, the hurt it causes you when someone goes through a divorce. So even though maybe you stop having hope for yourself, you still have this hope, this ideal for your children. Am I right? And Jesus has the same ideal for you. And the most amazing thing about Jesus is people who fell short of the ideal, you know, they love Jesus because Jesus never condemned them. Jesus never said, you know, hey, how come you're so bad? No, Jesus included them. Jesus loved them. In fact, Jesus died for them. If anything, Jesus was upset with the religious leaders who uphold the ideal, but they refuse to help. They refuse to lay a finger and help those who are less, who cannot live the ideal and live less than the ideal. It was recorded in the gospel for us in Luke 11:46. When people's, especially the religious leaders, their feelings got hurt by what Jesus said and did. And this is how Jesus responded. Jesus replied, and you, experts in the law, religious leaders, Jesus is was talking to religious leaders. Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them. What is Jesus saying? You put people down by your ideal, and you don't realize that people don't always live on the ideal. They live in this reality, the messiness of life, and you refuse to help them. And Jesus came to our world. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, to help us. He maintains the ideal, and he gave us grace for those of us who are less than, who live life less than the ideal. All right? And this is very important for us to know. For those of you who are parenting, maybe you feel like you've been a failure so far. I don't know where you are in your parenting, but some of you are about to give up on parenting altogether. You think like, that's it, you know. I'm such a failure as a parent. I don't know where else to go from here. I want to tell you right now that Jesus knows your situation. Jesus believes that you can do better, all right? Jesus believes that you can make amends. Jesus believes for the better future for you and your children. I really believe that Jesus and His grace is enough for you. So if you're a parent, no matter what you've done or have not done in the past, do not give up on parenting, all right? Do not give up on parenting. Do not give up on the ideal, because Jesus is here. God is here to help you. Now, Jesus Himself, actually, He didn't really specifically talk about parenting per se. Okay, but what He did instead, Jesus never talked about parenting directly, but He laid the foundation for parenting when He laid the foundation for our New Testament behavior. And this is very, very important. In fact, this is probably my bottom line for today, for this message, all right? If you're listening online, I want you to pay attention right now, because this is it. This is what you need to know. I believe, you know, God sent me here to tell you this. I believe you are here for a reason to listen to this, because it is your behavior that determines your effectiveness as a parent. So even though Jesus never said anything specific about parenting, but He laid the foundation for you, all right? Because when He established this foundation of New Testament behavior, and we talk about how important your behavior is as a parent, that will help you so much in being influential toward your children, all right? So Jesus introduced this new command. The Apostle Paul called it the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is simply this: to love others the way Jesus has loved us. That's it, right? To love others the way Jesus has loved us. That means you parents, you need to learn to love your children the way Jesus has loved you. Ask yourself, how has Jesus loved me? And that's exactly how Jesus would want you to behave toward your children. Because at the end of the day, following Jesus is about an ethic of others first and selflessness, isn't it? You know, it's not about your agenda as a parent. It's not about what you want as a parent, because this is what Christianity is all about. It's about others first and putting aside your preferences and putting aside your desire above other people, all right? That is the key of New Testament ethics. Let me tell you, that is so, so very important, all right? Now, it is true, okay, that we cannot behave like Jesus 100%. But guess what? We can try. And with God's grace, we can all do it. Okay? Now, how you respond, especially in a crisis situation with your children, is very, very important. I want to tell you a story about what happened to me. When I was 14 years old, all right, I started driving. So what I did, I snuck out and took my dad's company car and taught myself how to drive when I was 14 years old. My dad didn't know it, but I did it. And I was really, really good at it, all right? And a year later, when I was 15, me and two other friends, we made a fake ID And with this fake ID, we went to the licensing center and we made ourselves a real fake driver's license. It's a real driver's license, but because we use fake ID to make it, it's not really real. So I started driving since then when I had my driver's license, and I was really, really proud of myself. And soon, my dad actually figured out. He found out that I've been sneaking out, driving his company car. And I thought I was going to have it, because my dad, if you don't know my dad is very, very strict. He's a very strict parent. I thought I was going to get grounded. I'm going to hear a lecture from him. I thought, that's it, you know, my life is over. And to my surprise, when I proved to my dad that I could really, really drive, he actually let me drive. When I was with him, he actually trusted me to drive him around. And I was so shocked. Now that I'm a parent, I'm telling you, Dad, that's bad parenting, okay? I know Jaden is not gonna drive until he's 35. Sorry, son. But what I realized until now, for me, is this, that was a defining moment for me. That was a defining moment. At that time, I knew that my dad was for me. I knew that my dad trusted me. I knew that my dad put my interest above his, no matter how he felt about the driving, you know, with the fake license thing. But I realized then that my dad desires for, you know, he believes in me. I felt like my dad believed in me so much, even though he could have used that moment as a teachable moment. But for me, the fact that he didn't say anything, it made me feel included. It made me feel really, really important. Through his action, I believe my dad was telling me, I believe in you, son. I believe in you, son. And here's what I want to tell you, that a defining moment is actually more important than a teachable moment. I know all of us parents, you know, we always want to make, you know, many, many moments that we have with our children as teachable moments, you know, like, especially if they mess up, we know, we better tell them so that they will not mess up again in the future. So we try to make every moment into a teachable moment. But let me tell you, your children, they have been put by other people, a lot of different expectations, right? At school, by the society. And if you keep putting all this expectation on them, let me tell you, no matter how good you think those moments are, how important, how precious for you to teach them, I'm not saying that you can't use those moments as teachable moments, by the way, right? But let me tell you, how you behave toward your children is so much more important than the rules that you lay for them, than the advice that you could give them. So I've been trying, knowing that defining moment is very, very important for me, for my self-esteem, for my growth. I want to create those defining moments with Jaden all the time, as much as possible. I want to show you one short video clip of one of the defining moments that I had with Jaden when Jaden learned to ride his bike for the very first time. Here we go.
Go, Jaden. Good job, sayang. Well done. Wow, look at my son. Whoa, good control. All the way to the end, break. Wow, Jaden. Well done, sayang. Woohoo! Jaden!
Hey, that is awesome.
Ma.
You rode a bike on your own. You want to do it again?
A two-wheeler bike.
A two-wheeler?
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but that bike was given to us by someone. It's purple in color. And I told Jaden, if you don't want to get beat up by the neighbor's kids, just ride this in our backyard until I get you a proper bike, black or something. I think that's Dora or something. Anyways, Unfortunately for Jaden, that's all he's going to ride until he's 35. But my point is very, very simple. Parents, make sure you create those defining moments with your children all the time, because your behavior towards them is what will gain you influence when they finally have a choice later in life to make a decision whether or not they're going to be like you, whether or not they want to be with you, whether or not they want to have continuous relationship with you. All right? But having said that, don't place your children at the center of your family. I've seen a lot of parents, especially first-time parents, make this mistake of putting their children at the center of their family. Someone wise once told me that you were already a family before you had children. Do you know that? Especially those of you who are praying, asking God for a baby, and for whatever reason God hasn't given you one, and you feel less like a family because you don't have any children yet. Let me tell you, you are already a family, even without children. But when God decided to give you a gift of children, that's just an addition to your family. So make sure you don't make your children as the center of your family, all right? Worse, some parents make their children their idol. You know, their lives basically revolve around their children. They don't go to church because it messes up with their sleeping time or something like that. And to me, like, that's making your children an idol. Don't do it. You know, don't let your children rule your life that way. So going back to parenting, the bottom line is this. The secret to successful parenting is very simple. It is actually found in Jesus' new covenant command to love one another as he has loved us. But the problem with this is that Jesus never said anything specific about how we could do this. But thank God, a few years later, the Apostle Paul gave us a bit of a handle, all right, on how we can apply this to our daily life. In a very famous passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said this, love is this. And this is the Jesus kind of love, all right? This is the love that seeks others first before yourself. And Paul started this description on how you can apply love in your day-to-day life as a parent, as a teacher, as a wife, as a husband, this way. Love is patience. Love is patience. Now, patience means you take your time, all right? You don't rush. That means you refuse to move at a pace faster than the people around you. When we refuse to move at another person's pace, what happens is we separate ourselves from them. Physically, this is true. Imagine if you're walking faster than your children. What's going to happen? Physically, you separate yourself from them. Am I right? That's what happened. When you walk physically, when your pace is faster than other people, you physically separate yourself from them. And this is true relationally as well. If you put so much expectation, pressure, you know, over advice and all this to your children, what's going to happen is you separate yourself from them. And that's where you will start losing influence. And what's amazing is Paul gave us one specific example on how we should parent, especially to fathers, in this way. In a different passage, Paul says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not frustrate them. Do not irritate them. Maybe some of you parents, some of you dads think, what are you talking about? My children irritate me. They frustrate me. But the point is, this is what love does. This is what patience looks like in your relationship as parents and children. And the result of this is, you know, like, you don't want to know, all right? If you exasperate your children, if you frustrate them with your constant demands and expectations, what's going to happen is this. They will become discouraged. And when they become discouraged, they stop trying. And when they stop trying, guess what's going to happen? They slowly separate themselves from you because they feel like they cannot keep up with your demand, with your expectation. All right? I know some of you parents will give me a pushback by saying this. But Daniel, all you say is nice and good and, you know, maybe good in theory. But if we don't push our children, if we don't expect more from them than they expect from themselves, they're not going to reach their full potential. Right? That's what you're saying. And when they don't reach their full potential, then what's going to happen? Let me finish your sentence for you. If we don't push our kids, they may not turn out the way you want them to turn out, right? Because you have certain expectation from them. You have a certain reputation to keep, you know? You want, you know, you say to yourself, I just want the best for my children. It's not for me, but it's for my children. But guess what? Parenting is not about what you want, but it's about setting up your children to succeed at what they're good at, all right? So what that means is, it's not about you as much as it is about them, okay? It's not about you as much as it is about them. True story, as we close. My dad's friend was a doctor, a medical doctor, right? He was very, very smart, and he studied really hard. His parents wanted him to be a doctor because he was so smart, so he did, just to please his parents. But he was not happy as a medical doctor. The love of his life is cars. So you know what he did? After he finished his medical school, he gave the certificate to his parents and said, "Dad, I hope you're happy, but this is not what I want for my life. I love cars. I want to be in the business of selling cars." So he became, guess what? A used car salesman. And his dad was infuriated, but he was good at it. He became a used car salesman, and soon he was promoted as a manager of a dealership, and then soon after, he owned his own dealership. And last I heard, he owned many car dealerships now because that's his passion. He was really, really good at it, right? Parents, it's not about what you want. It's not about what you desire for them. Maybe you're projecting what you couldn't be to your children, and that frustrates them. That, you know, that is not God's will for their lives. You have to trust God, that God creates every person different, every person unique. So in order for you to become a patient parent, you gotta make time for them, all right? This is my quick application as we close. Make time for your children. You know, Jaden loves playing basketball, so every afternoon after coming back from work, you know, I make time to play basketball with Jaden, because that's how you develop relationship with them. It's not just the rules that you lay, all right? And number two, be approachable. Be approachable. Tell your kids that they can always talk about anything with you. And when they come to you, you know, smile. Get ready for them. Don't say, "What do you want? What do you want?" Smile, say, "Yeah, son, how can I help you?" You know, like, yeah, be excited that they want to come to you to ask for advice, to seek for help. And then finally, number three, be supportive. Be their biggest cheerleader, all right? Like I said before, the world has done a good job at putting them down. And they will continue, the world will continue to do a good job at putting your children down. Your job as a parent is to be the biggest supporter, to be the biggest cheerleader. If they don't know, what if they don't know what they want to do yet? You know, my son is in year 10, next year he's in year 11. He doesn't know what he wants to do yet. So I help him. I said, "Jaden, if you don't know what you want to do yet, I can help you direct your path until you know what you want to do. And then once you know what you want to do, if the path that you're on is not really what you want, then you can change it. It's not too late to change. But since you don't know what you want to do yet, can I suggest, knowing what you're like, knowing how God has made you, can I suggest that you do this subject? Can I suggest that you do this course? And then later on, if you feel like you need to change, you can always change." You see, as a parent, you need to be there for them, just like Jesus has always been there for you, to encourage you, to lift you up, and to champion you in everything that you do. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.